Possible could be a serial killer theory. I toss a pad of post-its at her. He's not a serial killer. He's sweet and kind. He's easy to talk to and masturbate off to. Andy chuckles as another pad goes flying her way. What? It's just a question. I mean, if he's giving you all this phone pleasure, then why not test out the real thing? I mean, come on. Guys can only hold off for so long. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to pay the piper. My forehead creases as I quickly tie my hair up in a bun before it gets busy. And what exactly is that supposed to mean? You know, you continue to talk to him and you tease him with your sexy phone words and panting. Not that I know what you sound like, ew, but still. Sooner or later, you're going to have to say yes and meet him or cut ties. Meet him in person and do the real deed or move on. Either way, you're going to have to choose. The conversation is dropped because the morning rush kicks in, breaking up our discussion. But her words eat at me. If I don't decide, and possibly offer to meet, then he might pull away and assume I'm not worth the trouble. Maybe Andy is right. It might be time to put my big girl pants on and pay that piper.
Chapter 8. Ram. Bartender my ass. Me. Why are you so opposed to FaceTime anyway? You could Skype instead on your computer. Just cut off your head if that makes you feel better. At least I'd be able to watch you when you touch yourself. Smirking, I climb out of my car and trot toward the bank to open my new business account. Wind whips around me and some ice pellets sting my face. The weather is attempting to get shitty the closer it gets to Christmas, but I'm smiling like a dumbass because I know it'll make Carrie happy. Between the Christmas and the snow, she'll be thrilled. She doesn't respond right away, but I'm not too worried. I push through the bank doors and groan when I see it's jam-packed with people. Luckily, one customer service rep is just thanking a customer who is leaving. I walk over to him and plop down. While he helps me set up the business account with the check Inigo Photog wrote me, I let my mind wander to the past week. Each night, we've pretty much had phone sex. It's been so fucking hot. I need her in the flesh. What's been playful banter is barely hiding my raging desire to have her truly naked and beneath me. Unfortunately, she's not biting. I think she likes our perfect little bubble and is afraid to destroy it. To me, it doesn't matter what she looks like. I already like her a lot. She doesn't have to be pretty. She could be missing teeth or have warts on her nose. I don't care. It's her soft sighs, her sweet laughs, her corny jokes. All of that is what draws me to her. Looks aren't everything. Would you like any other signers on your account? The customer service rep named Jack asks. Probably my brother, but I can add him later. We'll just set it up this way for now. I instruct. He taps away and has me sign a few documents. I've been loaded down with a folder full of paperwork and a temporary book of checks. When he rises from his seat to deposit the check at the teller line, I hear it. A voice, familiar. It draws me to it like a moth seeking a flame.
Here you go, Mr. Sorensen. Extra sugar because you're so bitter.
The sweet voice chirps. An old man chuckles behind me.
You'd think as an investor at this bank I'd get special treatment. Not from you, Miss Danielle.
The woman giggles, and it's so fucking cute I have to turn around. I've got to put a face to the voice.
You did get special treatment,
she admonishes, her tone playful.
Look at that line. I stepped away from the teller line to get your spoiled tail some coffee.
Their backs are turned to me, and the white-headed old man pats the tiny woman on the back. Her dark brown hair has been piled into a messy bun. She wears an oversized cream sweater that seems to swallow her tiny frame, and brown leggings hug her slender thighs. She wears a pair of heeled knee-high boots and shifts her weight back and forth on them. It makes me wonder what her ass looks like hiding under her sweater.
I really need to get back before they fire me,
she urges, a chuckle in her voice. The old man has a gentle grip on her elbow.
You tell those old coots if they fire you, I'll fire them. I'll take my money and give it to whichever bank you end up at.
They both laugh, and I feel awkward eavesdropping, but not awkward enough that I don't get up and take several steps over to them. Careful not to be too obvious, I walk in front of them over to the coffee machine. Glittering hazel eyes meet mine for a brief moment. Recognition flickers in her eyes. It's Danny, the girl Roman knocked over at the bar the other day. My heart skips a couple of beats as I greedily drink her in. Her pouty pink lips are curved into a shy smile that has my dick reacting against my wishes. God, this girl is hot. And seeing her twice within a week is not a coincidence. I should ask her out. But as soon as the thought enters my brain, I squash it. I couldn't do that to Carrie. We're basically having sex, even if we haven't physically done the deed, and I owe it to her to see how it plays out. When Danny's cheeks redden, I wink at her. I can't help it. She's too fucking cute. And when she turns impossibly more crimson, I grin at her, flashing her my panty-melting smile I know works on just about any chick. She turns away and shakes her head as if to get me out of her mind. Mr. Holloway, Jack says as he hands me a receipt. You're all good? Thanks for opening your business account with us. Please call if you have any questions or concerns. I give him a nod and steal another glance at Danny.
Go home, Mr. Sorensen,
Danny chides the old man.
Don't make me call your wife.
His laughter bellows, but I'm frozen in spot. That voice, I knew I recognized it. She waves to the old man and starts back over to the teller line where people are standing around impatiently. I just gape after her. No fucking way.
She's a real catch, the old man tells me, pointing at Danny. If I was 50 years younger.
He whistles and waggles his white eyebrows at me.
But a young chap like yourself, you'd be lucky to marry a girl like that. They don't come any sweeter, and they certainly don't come any prettier.
When she gets back to her window, she begins working quickly, never losing her perfect smile. I take a deep breath and hurry out of the building before I do something stupid like crawl over the countertop and kiss her like mad in front of the entire lobby. Instead, I trot out to my car and plop down in my seat. Bartender my ass. I pull out my phone. She hasn't responded to my last text, and it's clear to see why. She's busy, and it isn't slinging drinks. Me. Have dinner with me. I'd say lunch, but I have a meeting with a potential new client. Please, I just need to see you again. With a chuckle, I toss my phone down and put the car in drive. She'll probably think it was a typo. There's no way she put together me as the same guy from the bar. No more hiding. I'm smiling as I drive deeper into the city. This whole time I imagined Carrie's face to be that of Danny. Each time I jerked off with her sweet voice in my ear, each time I fantasized about her lying naked next to me in bed. And now I realize it's true. They are one and the same. The thought is exhilarating. I swing by the house for a bit to change into something more professional and to gather some printed off material for the new potential client. During that time, I take a call from Roman. He checks in on how everything is going with my business. I find it odd he's so interested in the day-to-day operations. When I get a minute, I'm going to shake him down and figure out what's going on with him. 2 hours later, and I'm sitting in a chair outside Mr. Winston's office. Danny still hasn't replied back. I'm staring at my phone when I hear screaming. The receptionist makes eye contact with me and rolls her eyes. Trouble follows him, she tells me in a bored tone. My anxiety causes my chest to tighten. I was hoping for a good client, not an asshole.
You are the worst person ever,
a woman shrieks. I lean to the side to have a better listen through the door.
Give it to me. Give me the key, a man says.
Give me my 10 grand, you prick!
You lent it to me,
he roars back. Something about the way he talks to the woman has my hackles rising. I'm already on my feet, starting toward the door.
Oh, mister,
she bites out, her voice losing some of its fire.
I'm about to give you your stupid key.
I hear her grunting through the door.
Why won't it cut?
She hollers.
It's real leather, dingbat, the man snaps back. You can't cut it with a key.
I smirk when I hear the key hit what sounds like a glass surface with a clang. Then I hear glass crashing.
But I can break that stupid vase by throwing it on the floor,
she hollers in triumph.
And this plant,
she cackles.
Dead.
Another crash.
You've lost your mind,
he bellows.
This isn't like you.
She lets out a choked sound, and for a moment I wonder if she's going to cry.
You made me this way,
she bites out in a cold tone.
Call me when you have my money. You have 1 week or I'll do something worse. Way worse. Like, I'll put baloney on your car.
Ha!
The woman threatens.
Baloney? Listen, he gripes out. Just fucking listen.
No, buddy,
she snips.
You listen to me. Money, 1 week. Bye.
I'm caught eavesdropping when the door slings open and the woman slams right into my chest. The first thing I notice is the sweet scent of a perfume I don't recognize. I inhale it because I like how it smells. My eyes find my client's. He's an older guy with a receding hairline and a slight belly. How he got this cute, tiny little thing is beyond me.
Is that your new boyfriend? Mr. Winston hisses. You sure moved on quick. So unlike you, Danny.
Danny, holy fuck. A shit-eating grin stretches across my face and my chest momentarily tightens. The woman, who I now realize is Danny, attempts to peel herself away from me. I didn't realize I'd naturally locked my arms around her. Her head tilts up and she regards me with those hazel eyes that are now red and teary. A possessive growl rumbles in my throat. This isn't just a coincidence. This is something way damn bigger. Sure, our town isn't that huge, but seeing her twice in one day is unfucking believable. Each of our paths have led to the same place, exactly where we're supposed to be. Upon realizing this asshole just spouted some nasty shit to my girl, my smile falls and I glare at him.
She dated down for you, dude,
I snap, not caring that I'll lose this client. I don't want to do business with this fucking cheating ass anyway. Clearly you let something perfect slip right out of your hands. Don't worry, asshole, I growl. I'm going to take real good care of her. She stiffens in my arms but stops trying to escape my grip. I wave my middle finger at the loser before tucking her under my arm and stalking out of the office. Once we're outside, the wind attempts to blow us away. It's cold as fuck out here. Danny lets me guide her over to where, apparently, our two cars are the only ones parked in the lot. I push her hips back until her ass meets the side door of her car.
Danny.
All I say is her name and she's looking up at me in awe. Her pink lips are parted in surprise. The same pink lips I've fantasized sucking on my cock. God, she's so beautiful.
You?
She chatters out, confusion marring her perfect features.
It's really you? The guy from the bar, from the bank? You're Ram? My stranger danger Ram, I can't believe this.
I beam at her, mostly because she called me her Ram, and I rub my hands up and down the sides of her arms. The sweater isn't warm enough for this weather. I attempt to block the wind from her and press my hard body against her soft one. Sliding my fingers into her messy hair, I tilt her face up so I can inspect every part of her. She does the same, her hazel eyes darting all over me but lingering on my mouth.
Buttercup, I murmur. It's me, all me.
She doesn't try to wriggle away when I draw closer to her.
But how? This is all so overwhelming.
Don't get overwhelmed, gorgeous. Nudging my nose against her ice-cold one, I shrug. Too many signs from the universe to ignore, though. My hands crave to touch every part of her. I settle for leaving them weaved into her silky hair. I'm going to kiss you now, I tell her. My tone smug. A small whine, one I remember hearing just last night right before she came, escapes her.
Here? Right now?
She protests, but not too hard.
What if someone sees?
I smile. Let them fucking see. My lips brush across hers and her breath hitches. I don't wait for any more permission. Her heaving breathing, parted lips, and death grip on my leather jacket are enough to have me forging ahead. As soon as our tongues touch, she lets out a whimper. So needy and hungry, she tastes like lingering coffee with a mix of peppermint. Her taste reminds me of Christmas. I almost chuckle, realizing that she'd like that analogy. With a groan, I deepen our kiss. Her kiss, while unsure at first, begins to greedily dance with mine. The shock has worn off and given in to the desire that surely matches mine. Our kiss is wet and noisy and hot as hell. When she moans again and tilts her head back as if to break our kiss, I move on to the shell of her ear. I whisper how beautiful she is before sucking on her earlobe. She gasps in pleasure. My lips find the soft flesh of her neck, and I suckle the sweet skin there. An overwhelming desire to mark her washes over me. I suck a little harder on her, and her fingers tangle into my hair. My hands are eager to roam all over her, but I don't want to scare her away. I simply want to kiss and hold her, for now.
Oh my God,
she moans, her fingers tugging at my hair.
This is real. You're real. You're...
I nip at her flesh before licking away the sting. Say it. Say my name again. I breathe against the vein in her throat that is pumping like mad.
Ram.
My hands ignore the desire to remain a gentleman, and I slip them around to her backside under her sweater. She has a nice ass hiding in those leggings. I grab onto it, and my sweet little thing jumps slightly. Understanding washes over me, and I lift her like she wants. Her slender legs hook around my waist. I lift my head from her throat so I can look at her. Those hazel eyes are blazing with lust. When I grind my hardened cock against her soft center, her eyes roll back and she cries out.
Oh my God.
She whines, her head turns to the side, and she darts her gaze for onlookers.
I don't do this sort of thing, not with a stranger, not in public.
I give her a wolfish grin. You do now. Besides, I thought you were working on being brave, baby. I call what we're doing really fucking brave. Her smile is shy, but it matches my own. It draws me back to her like a magnet until we're once again hot and heavy. It's not enough, though. I crave more of her. And then I'm rubbing against her in a way that's too sinful for public, and she's not saying no anymore. She wants this, too. There are probably eyes everywhere, and I don't even care. Apparently, she's throwing caution to the wind, too. I want to make her come right here, right now. I don't even care if I come in my own slacks doing it. Anything to hear that soft whine she makes when she loses control. She jerks her head to the left this time and looks for anyone watching. I murmur in her ear that it's just us. My hot breath seems to excite her, because then our mouths are once again latched. My cock seems to know exactly how to rub against her because it situates to fit between the lips of her pussy. Each time I grind against her, she makes louder and louder noises as it slides against her clit. The wind whips around us, but I'm not even cold anymore. And judging by the way she's clawing at my shoulders now and rocking with me, neither is she. I don't even try to stop myself when one hand leaves her ass and slips up under her sweater. She moans when I grab her tit through her bra. They're small, like she says, but so perfect in my hand. I'm just working my thumb under the material to touch her nipple when she lets out one of her telling whines. Just us, I assure her. You're so fucking brave, Buttercup. And it's so close. Another few moments and she'll unravel. I massage her pebbled nipple while I thrust against her. My mouth steals kisses and occasionally takes little bites of her neck. With a choked murmur of my name, she comes hard. Her entire body quakes, and I can't wait for her to do it when I'm buried deep inside of her. I brush my lips against hers again, kissing her softly.
Oh my God.
She groans.
I can't believe I just did that, in public, with a stranger.
And she lets out a slight giggle.
In front of my ex-boyfriend's building.
Well, I'm not a stranger anymore, Danny. I like her name on my tongue. I especially like her on my tongue. I chuckle. Believe it, though. We're going to do more of it later, too, next time in private. I pull back so I can stare at her stunning, flushed face. Her legs are still locked around my waist, and my dick is aching for release, but I remain still as I regard her. You're fucking gorgeous, Buttercup. Her eyes light up, and she beams at me, just as someone yells.
I called the cops, Danny,
Mr. Winston bellows.
I knew you were losing your damn mind. You're out of control.
The growl rumbling from me is fierce. I set her on her feet and reluctantly peel myself away from her. When I stalk over to the goofy-looking asshole, he stumbles away from me. I clutch his tie and yank him so I can get right in his face. Talk to my girlfriend one more time in that tone and I'll shove my fist up your ass. Comprende, motherfucker? My teeth are clenched as I glower at him. He stammers, fear glimmering in his eyes.
I understand.
With a snarl, I shove him away from me. And I suggest you give my woman her money back as she asks, or I'll be forced to come extract it from you. He backs away, shaking his head.
I'll get her the money, Jesus.
Turning away from him, I trot back over to Danny. She's staring at me as if I'm some mystical creature, and she hasn't even seen my cock yet. Come on, I tell her, grabbing her hand. Let's get you out of this cold. When I pick you up after work, you better wear something warmer. She laughs as I all but stuff her back into her car. Before I close the door, I lean in and steal another sweet kiss.
Who says we're going to see each other after work?
She questions, her lips curving into a breathtaking smile. I do. I'm taking you on a date. We have to make up for lost time, I tell her with a smirk. Fear flashes in her eyes briefly as if her mind just worked out the fact that we finally met. Her stranger is a stranger no more. Turn off that mind of yours, I growl, and lean forward into her car. This is a good thing, I assure her. Let it happen. I kiss her again. She still seems unconvinced, so I convince her. My palm finds her thigh, and I slip my fingers over her pussy through her leggings. I know she's still sensitive from her recent orgasm. She jolts from the touch and lets out a pleased moan. I'll give you more of those after I feed your sexy little ass. I vow. You're going to need your appetite, Buttercup. We're about to work it up for sure. Pulling away, ignoring her grumble when my hand leaves her warm thigh, I wink at her. I close the car door and watch with an ache in my chest as she composes herself and then puts the car in reverse. I don't second-guess my actions at all, though. The moment she passes me to leave the parking lot, her smile is bright and her eyes are twinkling. She waves like a little kid. Everything about her tugs at my insides. Mr. Sorensen was right. I'd be lucky to marry a girl like that. They don't come any sweeter, and they certainly don't come any prettier. Get ready, Buttercup. I'm playing for keeps.
Chapter 9. Danny. It's go time. Oh my God, Andy shrieks. What happened? You've been gone forever. Did you do it? Harold was looking for you. Go, speak. I walk back into the bank for my lunch break in a daze, a quirky smile on my face. I have absolutely no idea where to start on what just happened. Oh, hell no. You're smiling. You didn't. He didn't. Did you get back together with him? Andy yelps, scaring a customer waiting in line. Shh, what's your problem? You, she points at me. You have that look. Why, ew, did he give you a parting orgasm? My eyes widen in shock, then embarrassment, and as I pick my jaw up off the ground, I tackle Andy. I jump at her, throwing my hands over her mouth. It's clear that everyone in the bank is staring at us as we cause a scene. Shush. Shush it right now, I say close to her face. Her eyes bore into mine until she calms after finding humor reflecting back at her. Why were you smiling? She asks, her words muffled behind my hand. I wait until I know she is ready to listen and stop yelling, then release my hand from her mouth. I just met Ram. I smile at how strangely exciting that sentence just sounded out of my, oh my God, was Ram Daryl? Wait, I thought you went to see Daryl. Oh my God, was he catfishing you? Dear Lord, this girl. My hand goes back over her mouth. Control yourself, I bark. I can't. I'm so confused, and you're not making much sense. It's because I have said one sentence. Now calm down, let me finish. She stares at me for a final second, then nods. Fine, she says, and I step back. I signal for her to meet me in the break room and snap at Frank to cover our absence. Andy busts out laughing at my bold demand and crudely slaps Frank on the butt while walking past him. Once we are out of earshot of the customers, she tells me to spill. Okay, so first off, I did go and see Daryl. It was horrible. My mind flits to earlier, and my mouth blabs every detail without missing a beat. Scenarios are so much easier to discuss and practice in your head than in person. Ram had convinced me that I had to stand up for myself and get my money back. And, as I agreed, I just didn't know how. He had coached me on how to get all gangsta, but he said I couldn't say please or sorry while threatening to put a cap in his ass. By the end of the night, I was pumped up, and after our phone call turned frantic with need, he gave me the encouragement I needed to go through with it. Daryl had texted me earlier in the day for his key, demanding it, actually. There was no, hey, by the way, I'm sorry for cheating, jerking you over and taking all your savings, just, I want my key back. Feeling brave, I'd texted him back that I would come to his office on my lunch and drop it off. Be there, I'd ordered. I giggled at the be there comment. So bossy. Well, for me anyway. I had gone into work and told Andy my plan. She screamed and started giving me the just say no pep talk again. I was feeling good, confident. Daryl was done walking all over me, and I was done taking it. I'd explained to Andy how Ram had given me some advice, and after I told her what he suggested I do, she'd finally admitted he didn't sound like a bad guy after all. Suggesting I key his couch, though, was still a serial killer trigger, she thought. I just shook my head and went about my day. Andy was all smiles. She had clearly been way more excited than I was about my lunch plans. When lunchtime hit, I drove over to Daryl's office. I'd received a strange look from his secretary, who, as instructed, I flipped off, which I wasn't sure why that was necessary, but Andy said it was for effect. I'd banged on his door, sucked in a gust of air, and when I walked in, I went off. Or at least I tried. I'd done my best to replay the lines I'd practiced with Ram, the facial expressions I practiced with Andy that said I meant business, and I'd held the key in my hand just like Andy showed me and attempted to key Daryl's leather couch, like Ram instructed. It's a shame, though. I'm a complete wimp and leather is actually very durable, so I'd settled for knocking over an expensive vase and kicking a slant. Andy and Ram would have been so proud of me in my theatrical show, or at least my attempt. But sadly, Daryl wasn't. He didn't take any of my threats seriously. He'd still seen me as the pushover who would end up walking out of his office with no money and no pride. But then the craziest thing happened. I had given up and stormed out of Daryl's office. I couldn't take any more of his cruelty. He wasn't taking me seriously, and I had to get out of there before I broke down. My whole superwoman cape was fluttering to the ground, and I'd needed to take cover, fast. But when I threw open his door and stepped over the threshold, I fell into the arms of someone warm and strong, the scent of cologne filling my nostrils, his minty breath teasing my senses. Daryl came barreling behind me, catching me in the arms of this stranger, making accusations and calling me horrible names. But this stranger, he held me tight to his chest, and as I raised my eyes to meet his, it clicked. It was him. The guy from the bar. The bank. But then he spoke. And I knew. It was him. Ram. Everything else after that happened so fast. The kiss, our hasty exit, our inappropriate yet exhilarating... Holy shit, Buckets! You let him hump you on the street? Andy bursts, interrupting my unbelievable recount of the day. I roll my eyes, knowing I wouldn't get through my whole story without her freaking out. Andy, it wasn't like that public fornication. Holy shit, I can't believe you let him. He did that to... You came in public, she finishes on a holler.
What in the heavens is going on back here?
I attempt to cover her mouth when the booming voice of our boss, Harold, interrupts us. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Sphincterson, Andy says, trying not to laugh as she swats me away. I mean, who wouldn't? His last name has sphincter in it. Listen, Danny just got her period really bad all over her pants, and I was just trying to... I slap Andy on the shoulder. I did not... And, as I was saying, she really needs to change her... Andy stutters for an excuse, so I step in. I need to leave. I'm a mess. Unless you want me to...
No, God, no,
he grumbles, his face turning slightly green.
Take your woman problems and have the rest of the day off.
I smile widely, then quickly mask my excitement. I turn to Andy and lean in to hug her. I whisper in her ear, thank you. I pull away and gather my purse, exiting the bank. With a new skip in my step, I head home for my date. With Ram. Where are you taking me? I squeal, trying to keep up with him, while he grips my hand tightly in his as he maneuvers us through the busy downtown square.
It's a surprise.
He beams at me, and it warms me down to my toes, even in the brisk December chill. He zigzags us through crowds of busy shoppers and carolers, which I smile at, hoping to catch a bit of their performance on the way back, and small children giggling and enjoying the seasonal festivities. We finally halt at the old movie theater, and as we walk up to the ticket booth, Ram pulls out his wallet and purchases 2 tickets. "A Christmas Story?" I ask, my voice filled with humor.
"Oh, yeah. All that talk about you loving Christmas turns me on, and I thought you deserved it with the day you had. So, A Christmas Story it is."
He smiles, grabbing our tickets from the attendant, then latching his hand back with mine before pulling me into the historical Bedford Cinema. Ram got everything we ever possibly needed to watch a movie. Popcorn, soda, candy, a Slurpee, nachos, and a pretzel. Although I begged him not to waste all that money, he insisted. And before I knew it, we were seated in the back with 2 laps full of movie theater goodies. The movie began, and the moment the movie filled the screen, I was engrossed. I simply love Christmas. I sadly admit that every year I stalk all channels in hopes to find that one special channel that plays A Christmas Story over and over. I would have loved to see it in the theaters, but no one ever wanted to come with me. Every once in a while, I turn to Ram, who was smiling, watching me. Here and there, our fingers graze as we both dig for a handful of popcorn. Me, trying to be polite, I always pull my hand away so he can get his scoop. He, on the other hand, always takes his handful and starts feeding me his scoop. It's just the sweetest, yet simplest thing anyone has ever done for me. At the part where the dog eats the turkey, Ram slips his hand under the armrest, placing his palm on my hip. His skin on mine is like an inferno. I feel the heat of him instantly, causing me to take a hefty sip of my Slurpee to help bring my temperature down. I turn to him, curious about what he's up to, and he smiles.
"This is the best part. Pay attention."
My cheeks flush at his words, because they are filled with intent. He's up to something. I turn to the screen just as his hand moves closer and cups my sex over my leggings. A small gasp escapes my lips at his bold move. I look around the theater, making sure no one is paying attention, which they aren't. I'm trying to pretend I'm watching the movie, but over my leggings, he begins stroking my sex, finding my secret spot and teasing me. He moves his hand higher, causing the armrest to raise. I slightly panic, afraid someone will see what he is doing, but he leans over and says,
"Don't you just love it when the family comes together? So satisfying."
I moan softly, trying to pay attention to the movie. They did come together, finding themselves at a Chinese restaurant at Christmas. My favorite part is when they sing Christmas carols and laugh. Just as they begin to do that, Ram finds the elastic band at the top of my leggings and dips his hand inside, reaching past my saturated panties and into my sacks. I moan louder than anticipated, and Ram chuckles next to me. I'm so embarrassed at what's happening, so afraid someone is watching, but so hot and aroused. His finger pulls out and dips back into my hot sex over and over again, in rhythm with the singing on the screen. I'm silently panting, and I find myself cupping his hand for more pressure. Just as they cut into the duck, I explode, coming all over his hand. "You know you've ruined that movie for me now," I say, my cheeks still flushed from my orgasm. He flashes me a wide grin.
"Well, you made it for me. It will forever be my favorite movie, no matter the season."
We're walking back to his car, the silence falling over us. I don't want our night to end, and I can tell he doesn't either. Being with Ram has been more than I could have ever expected. Actually, it's better. He's perfect in so many ways, and to know that he's real and not hiding behind fake messages or lies causes a flutter of happiness to explode inside me. Ram is the kind of man I have always dreamed about. Kind, funny, loyal, super good-looking. A gentleman. Yet this beast of a man who takes me to levels I would otherwise be too shy to pursue. The realization hits me in waves. I no longer have any reservations about Ram, and I want him to know that. "Would you like to come back to my place?" I ask, hoping he doesn't notice the nervousness in my voice. I watch his eyes darken, and I'm worried I may have read his signals wrong. I open my mouth to apologize for getting the wrong impression when he speaks.
Buttercup, I thought you'd never ask. Get in the car. I plan on driving really fast.
And he does. I give him my address, and with his muscle car weaving through traffic, before I know it, I'm unlocking the door to my apartment. With a shaky hand, I undo the lock, and we both enter my tiny apartment. As I flick on the lights, Ram is picking me up, pressing my back to the wall.
I feel like we've gotten to know each other pretty well. Do you agree?
He asks, his warm breath smelling like nacho cheese. Some would find it gross, but I find it lovely. He bends down, gently pressing a soft kiss to the corner of my mouth. I would say so. I breathe, my words husky. He approves of my answer, dropping another kiss to my mouth.
So, then you would agree that you find me completely irresistible?
At that I laugh, watching his lips curl into a mischievous smile. Full of yourself much? I smirk, watching his eyes light up.
Yes, I am full of want for you.
He brings his mouth to mine again, this time kissing me with intent. I wrap my arms around his neck, bringing our bodies smashing together.
You're perfect. You know that, right?
He nips at my bottom lip, sucking me into his mouth. His words ignite something inside me, as everything he says does, and I put more pressure into our kiss, my lips parting and our tongues dancing around one another. I think you're quite fantastic yourself. I thread my fingers into his hair, tugging at his thick mane. The growl that leaves his throat gives me the courage to tell him what I've been dreaming about doing since our first phone call. I want you, Ram. His body stiffens, his mouth leaving mine. His eyes are intense, a fireball of emotions.
Say that again, he demands, his voice deep with lust.
I want you, I trust you, and I think we should take this relationship to the next level. He crashes his lips back on mine, and our kiss becomes feral. I feel the hardness against my covered leggings, and the buildup of what I hope is to come excites me. He pulls us away from the wall, walking us down my short hallway. Second door. I breathe between kisses, and he enters my small bedroom. Not needing any more direction, he walks over to my bed, and with me still cradled in his arms, crawls onto the bed, laying me back on the soft mattress. His body blankets mine as he spreads kisses down my throat to my neckline, pulling my thick sweater down to meet the bare skin of my collarbone.
You have the softest skin.
He kisses along my shoulder.
God, there's this possessive side of me that wants to mark you everywhere so people will know you're mine.
His teeth graze my shoulder blade, sending a heated wave of spasms to my core.
I need to see all of you,
he says, leaning up and pushing my sweater up my waist. Our visual connection never falters as he lifts my sweater up and over my head. My tank top, along with my simple lavender bra, are next. The growl erupting from his chest is enthralling as he takes in my exposed chest. The old part of me would try and cover myself, shy to be so exposed. But with Ram, I feel alive. The way he looks at me, the desire I see pouring from his eyes.
Christ,
he breathes, dropping his mouth to my small breast, taking it fully into his mouth. My head arches back, my eyes shutting. The feeling of his warm breath, hot mouth, his wet tongue sucking on my nipples is almost too much. I moan, wrapping my fingers into his hair. Oh yes, I breathe. This is nothing like how I imagined it would be. It is so much more. My body is beginning to shake, the need for more becoming unbearable. The pulse in my sex begging for him to be inside me. I need more of you, Ram. I need you inside me. My brazen words shock me, but I don't think too much of it. He brings out this side I never knew existed, and ever since he fell into my life, he has woken this person inside me. Releasing my right breast and working his magic on the other, he hums into my skin.
I've wanted you since day one, ever since your dirty comment about how well you sucked cock. I smack him in the head, feeling the vibrations of his soft chuckle against my skin. He releases my nipple with a pop and sits forward, locking his vision with mine. You could have told me you hated cock, and I would still have found you perfect. I've wanted you for you. He leans forward, tapping gently on my head, and then on my heart. I fight to not start crying because it's been way too long that someone has appreciated me for me. I think we've done enough talking, Ram. I choke out, fighting my own emotions. He leans down, pressing his lips to mine before sitting back up.
Are you sure about this?
Never been sure, I reply.
You swear? Because once I get started with you, there is no stopping me.
I smile, hoping he keeps that vow. Pinky promise.
All right then, Buttercup. Looks like it's go time.
The remainder of our clothes are discarded faster than humanly possible. My eyes grow large in size at his giant man part. As he rolls the condom down his long shaft, he catches eyes with me and smirks.
You keep looking all hungry like that, and I'm going to have to, for real, test out your cocksucking theory.
My cheeks flare, not in embarrassment, but with the fact that I want to do that to him, and really badly, actually. Ram chuckles again.
We have all night, Buttercup.
I reach my hand out, stopping him from rolling the remainder of the condom on his dick. Wait. He pauses, his eyes questioning. Take it off. I want to feel you now. I watch his eyes light up. His hand grips his cock as it twitches at my request.
You sure? You don't have-
Don't tell me what I have and don't have to do. I want your cock in my mouth. Now let me. Who's this person who just said all that? I think we both look shocked at my filthy mouth. But Ram quickly snaps out of it and jumps off me, lying next to me on the bed. Placing his hands behind his head, he watches as I sit up and position myself down the bed and over his engorged cock.
You can stop when you want. You don't have to.
I shut him up when I bring my lips to the top of his impressive length, my tongue licking the salty bead of pre-cum on his tip. Finding my boldness, I wrap my tiny hands around his shaft and put him fully into my mouth. My jaw aches, almost painfully, at stretching my mouth so wide around his girth. Daryl's dick was nothing in comparison to Ram's. This one is powerful and thick and delicious and mine. His moan is instant as he spears his long fingers into my hair. It gives me the courage to pull out and bring my mouth back down, this time taking him deeper.
Fuck, Danny. This feels amazing.
I take my praise and work his shaft faster, bobbing up and down. His dick is large, so it's hard to fit him fully in my mouth. When I take my free hand and gently massage his balls, his restraint snaps and he takes control of my movements, lifting his hips, working himself harder and faster in my mouth.
Fuck, you're so sweet. Fuck,
he grunts with each thrust. I'm trying to relax my jaw but gag a few times. He tries to let up, but I push on him, fighting the restriction.
Baby, I'm gonna come. Fuck, I'm going to.
I take him deeper, letting him know I want him to come in my mouth. This is something new to me, and I'm unsure what to expect. Ram grunts, the feel of him getting thicker, if possible, is followed by the release of his seed down my throat. Before I'm able to suck him completely dry, he's pulling me off him, flipping me on the bed.
Your turn.
His smile is simply devilish. He doesn't allow me any time to comprehend his next move, and before I know it, his tongue is licking at my center. Oh my God, I moan. The feeling of his tongue is exhilarating on my pulsating lips. He takes no mercy on me as he laps up my juices, biting at my lips, and working me in record speed to orgasm. Unable to control my body movements, I begin thrashing in his hold. His touch, his hot breath sucking me, it's all too much. I can't, I moan, needing him to stop, needing so much more.
You can. Is this what it feels like to fuck you with three fingers, Buttercup? And with that, he pushes three thick fingers into me. I explode, white lights exploding behind my eyelids. My throat locks, unable to scream. Working me through my spasms, my legs finally unclench, releasing the strangling hold I have on his head. He crawls up my body, covering me with his strong form. He rolls a new condom down his length, giving me a mischievous look, like he's wondering if I'll stop him this time. I smile back, take a peek at his thick cock, and lick my lips. Pushing my legs apart with his knees, Ram places himself at the center of my sex.
"Ready?"
he asks, his voice thick. "Set. Go," I reply. And with that quirky smile I love so much, he thrusts into me. There is no way to explain the feeling of him being so deep inside me. He pulls out slowly, then works himself back inside. My juices are coating his thick length, making it slick for him as he pumps in and out of me.
"I forgot to add one more thing to my favorite things list," he pants, pulling out before slamming back home. "You. I like you."
He drops his mouth to mine, kissing me with a ferocity unlike any other time we've kissed. Our bodies are slamming into one another, a slick layer of sweat building. This is almost as wonderful as Christmas carols and cheese, I moan, just as his hand squeezes my nipple. I feel his chuckle in my mouth, and my lips curl into a smile. It doesn't stop him from ravaging my mouth, all while working my body into a frenzied mess.
"'Tis the season to fuck the most beautiful woman, fra-ra-ra-ra-ra."
He trails off as my hand grabs his butt cheeks, and I squeeze my nails, possibly breaking skin. Playtime is suddenly over, and Ram takes control. Or loses it. He starts pounding into me as if he needs to get deeper, farther inside me. I'm a wild mess, scraping, pulling, and grabbing all of him, until his grunted hiss matches my heavy moan as we both come.
Chapter 10. Ram. Are your parents siblings? "You got rammed," I tell her, a smug grin painting my face as I clean her with a warm rag.
"Oh my God," she groans. "Your corny jokes are worse than mine."
I laugh as I climb off the bed and start dressing. It's been a week since we ran into each other at her ex's office, and we've been attached at the hip ever since. Each day I pick her up at her place after work. We go have dinner or do something fun, and then we end up in her bed, where I make her scream my name until she's hoarse. She's yet to ask me to stay over, but I don't even care, because by morning she texts me right when she wakes, and it turns into a full day of sexual banter. "You better hurry and get dressed," I tell her as I drop the used condom into the trash and pull on a pair of black boxer briefs. She's still sprawled out on the bed, her pale skin slightly reddened everywhere I kissed her from the stubble on my face. Her dark hair is in a wild mess on the pillow, and her pouty lip is jutted out. My dick responds to her sexy little mouth. "Keep looking at me like that with your gorgeous lips looking wet and tempting, and we'll never make it to the restaurant in time," I tell her with a wicked grin. "Besides, we need to celebrate. That idiot finally gave you your money back, and you are free." At this, she smiles.
"He looked scared, and his stupid neighbor girlfriend wisely sat in the car."
I pull on my jeans and toss her the black inside-out leggings she was wearing earlier. "Well, you were holding a container of bologna like it was a bomb about to detonate. I'm not sure he knew what you planned to do with it, but he wasn't taking any chances." Her giggles warm me as she slides out of the bed. I crave to bite her cute little ass, but before I have a chance, she's slipping on a pair of pink lacy panties.
"I gave him the stink eye, huh? He was scared of me,"
she tells me in a smug voice. I toss her sweater at her and then look for my black thermal shirt. By the time I'm fully dressed, she's nearly clothed as well. "I'm sorry, but why you ever dated that washed-up loser is beyond me. It was like you had an uncle fetish and you settled on him to fulfill said fetish," I tell her, wagging my eyebrows.
"Gross,"
she says, and pretends to gag.
"He does kind of look like someone's uncle, though."
After we're both dressed, I snag her wrist and pull her to me. The air still smells like sex, and I fucking love it. I've never been so damned happy in all my life. Back when I dated Chelsea, I thought I was happy. Little did I realize I wasn't even close. With Danny, I smile nonstop. She makes me laugh and appreciate the smallest things, like her tiny sighs and whispered apologies. I like listening to her throaty voice chatting about her day after I've made love to her. I like how her fingernails, now a nude polish but still chipped, run through my hair as she scratches my scalp when we're just lying in bed together. She soothes parts of me I didn't know were upset. Her presence warms parts of me that I didn't realize were cold and bitter. We're all flirting and laughter as we drive to the restaurant where we're meeting Roman and Andy. Danny thought it would be fun for us all to get together. But as soon as we trot up to the restaurant with Danny tucked against my side and under my arm, I can't help but wonder if it was a bad idea. Roman is scowling with his arms crossed. Andy glares at him as if he's shitting her food. I mean, the first and only time they met was when Roman knocked Danny down while he was shit-faced. I can see why there might be bad blood between them.
Why the long faces?
Danny questions, her voice strained. Roman lets out a growl.
Your friend thinks it's funny to kick people she doesn't like.
Andy scoffs and flips him off.
You were on your phone, not paying attention, and wham!
She claps her leather-gloved hands together for effect.
Slammed right into me. Now my ass is wet from falling in the snow.
He glowers at her.
And when I offered my hand to help you back up, he snaps through clenched teeth. You fucking kicked me, again.
Andy smirks and shrugs.
You deserved it. Payback from last time.
But you also kicked me last time. When does it end, woman?
He roars. Danny tenses in my arms. Things are escalating quickly. I need to get them to chill the fuck out. All right, you two. Into the restaurant. Both of you need a drink. We can all be friends here. No phones. I order to my brother. Then I make eye contact with Andy. And no kicking. Let's be friends. They both huff and stomp into the restaurant. Danny looks up at me with a frown on her face.
Gah, I don't like that they hate each other.
My brows furrow and I dust some falling snow off her cheek. It's just one dinner. If they get too bad, I'll send Roman home. She seems satisfied with my answer and we head inside, hand in hand. The restaurant is also a bar. It's swanky and dark. The lights are low and candles are on each table. With the dark mahogany of the furniture, it's easy to feel like you're in some cave or something. We settle into the booth where Andy and Roman are sitting an exaggerated distance apart on the same side. Danny and I slide in across from them, and she practically sits in my lap with her leg draped over my thigh.
You guys look so happy,
Andy says in a sugary sweet voice.
Danny did well. You're a thoughtful gentleman.
Her eyes cut over to my brother.
Unlike some assholes around here.
Roman growls, but she hasn't awarded his answer because a waitress shows up.
What can I get you all?
She questions, chomping noisily on her gum. Danny pipes up.
Shots of tequila all around. This group needs it. Then bring two vodka tonics for the ladies.
Andy raises her eyebrows in surprise at Danny ordering for them. I squeeze Danny's leg supportively because she looks so cute when she gets all confident and takes charge. I'll take a Jack and Coke, I tell the server.
Same, Roman grumbles. Make mine a double.
The woman bounces off and Andy rolls her eyes.
Here we go.
Before they have another shouting match, I shove menus in front of them. Find something to eat and for the love of God, don't talk to each other. Danny laughs, and thus begins our night. 2 hours later, a belly full of food and more alcohol than four adults should consume. Things are much lighter. Instead of being hateful, Andy and Roman have taken to slinging hilarious insults at each other that have the four of us laughing. It's progress.
Don't you love nature?
Andy asks, faux curiosity on her face. She even fingers a blonde strand of hair innocently. Roman fucking falls for it because his hard gaze softens.
Despite what it did to you?
She finishes with a giggle. He rolls his eyes while Danny and I crack up.
I wasn't born with enough middle fingers to let you know how I feel about you, he says sadly. So it's just fuck and you.
He waggles his middle fingers and his grin is wicked.
Burn,
Danny snorts and slings back another shot. I smirk at her and squeeze her thigh again. It feels good to be having fun.
You're the only reason the gene pool needs a lifeguard,
Andy tells him, her lips curving up in a smile. Roman cracks a smile but tries to hide it. I love what you've done with your hair, he says in a genuine tone. Her lips part just a bit, but then he continues. How do you get it to come out of your nostrils like that?
Asshole!
Andy barks and swats at him. Her cheeks turn slightly pink, and I can tell it embarrassed her. I'm sorry, Roman teases and hauls her to him. Give Big Daddy a hug. She squirms and squeals as he gives her an over-the-top bear hug. He lets go with a grunt.
You punched my nuts!
He chokes out in surprise. Danny is giggling so hard I think she's going to hyperventilate.
You gotta watch your nuts around Andy. She's like a squirrel. No nut is safe.
This time it's Danny who gets kicked by Andy.
Ow! How many times do I have to flush before you go away?
Andy says to him. Roman snorts, which makes Andy start to giggle. I don't miss the fact that she hasn't moved back to her side of the booth. They're still close, within kicking and nut-punching distance. My brother is brave, especially because of the way he keeps slinging stupid insults at her.
Hell is wallpapered with your deleted selfies, he says with a laugh.
I was going to give you a nasty look, but you already have one,
she retorts. His eyes narrow.
You're not as bad as people say. You're much, much worse.
Just because you have one doesn't mean you have to act like one.
Andy smirks and then mouths the word,
dick.
My brother shrugs his shoulders.
You have the right to remain silent because whatever you say will probably be stupid anyway.
Your cock is so small you could use it to floss teeth,
she snarls. He laughs.
Are your parents siblings?
I'm blonde,
she clips out, a grin on her lips.
What's your excuse?
Jesus loves you, he sighs. But everyone else thinks you're an asshole.
You're street smart. Sesame Street smart.
She pretends to dust her nails off on the front of her shirt.
Okay, you two, I say with a chuckle. We've paid the bill and people are waiting to sit here. Besides,
I trail off, pointing between them both. I have just the way to finish this war. 10 minutes later, we're on the side of the building, standing in the snow under the moonlight. Danny is drunk as a skunk and leans against me, her giggles making the night sound musical. The rules are, I tell them as I bend and pack some snow into my palm. There are no rules. I launch the snowball at Andy, but Roman blocks it with his chest. Both girls scream, and next thing I know, snow is flying from every direction. I end up taking one to the face, and it blinds me for a second. Then I feel ice go down the crack of my ass. Danny's giggles give her away, and the moment my eyes clear, I charge after her. She makes a weak attempt to throw snow at me, but I'm quicker. I tackle her into the snow. Of course, the thick blanket of it softens her fall, but nothing softens my dick. I'm hard as ice pressed up against her soft body. The snow starts falling harder. I can hear Roman and Andy hollering at each other behind me, but right now it's just Danny and I. Her hazel eyes are hooded, and she gives me that kiss-me stare I love so much. Snowflakes dust her forehead and cheeks. I decide she's never looked more beautiful. You make me happy, I tell her, my voice low. Her legs slip out from under me and she hooks them at my waist. I press my length against her as my lips hover over hers.
You make me happy too, Ram.
Her eyes twinkle with delight. It does fucking fabulous things to my heart. Our lips meet and I kiss her softly at first. The snow is cold, but our bodies are heated. I grind against her as we kiss, drinking down every single moan that escapes her. By the time we no longer hear Andy and Roman, I've worked Danny into quite a state. Her eyes are closed and her head is tilted back in ecstasy. I'm obsessed with you, I admit with a growl and tug at her bottom lip with my teeth. So fucking obsessed. She whimpers and her teeth start to chatter. Shit, I groan. I need to get you out of this snow and someplace warm. I scoop her from the snow and stride toward the parking lot. My car is blanketed in new snow. Between the weather and my drinking, we're going to have to get an Uber for the ride home. When we reach my car, I turn on the ignition to heat it up. I need to get you out of these wet clothes, I tell her, concern painting my voice. She doesn't argue when I begin undressing her in the parking lot. We're in a darkened corner and she's too liquored